Our text this evening is from Matthew, chapter 8, and verse 12. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We'll read Matthew 8, verses 5 through 13, and come back to this text in just a little bit. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. A centurion came, beseeching the Lord Jesus. There is a great lesson that is taught in this passage of Scripture that is easily missed for the glorious miracle that's accomplished in this passage. And it is that great lesson that I would like to draw our attention to and not neglect the glorious miracle. But here is a centurion who is beseeching him. Now, to beseech means to ask someone urgently, fervently to do something. To implore, to beg, to entreat, importune. Centurions don't beg. They command. They are commanders. They tell soldiers, as this man says, they tell soldiers, go and do this. And their orders are to be obeyed. But here is a man who is addressing another one, Jesus Christ, and he is beseeching him. He is pleading with him. This one that the centurion is speaking to is not to be commanded. Men do not command Jesus Christ, but they beseech him. And here is a man under authority, and he beseeches Jesus Christ, and he says, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus answers immediately and responds favorably, I will come and heal him. This is what Jesus Christ has been doing. Here in the book of Matthew, we read in Matthew chapter 4 and just verse 23, just a little time earlier from when this takes place. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people, that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed of devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Here, early on in the book of Matthew, we read example of the Lord Jesus healing Peter's wife's mother. He finds her, he enters the house and finds her with a fever, and he reaches down and touches her hand, and she gets up, and the fever is gone, and she goes about to minister. And there's another occasion of a leper who comes before the Lord and asks him, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole." And the Lord reaches out and touches him, and he says, "I will, be thou whole." But here, the Lord said, "All right, I'll come to your house and I'll heal this servant." Just like so many other people have been healed, they bring him to Jesus and he heals them. They come to Jesus and he heals them. Jesus comes in the house and he heals the woman. And this is just the way it's been done. But the man says, "No, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof." A man who knew his place. And he said, "But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." John Baptist, the Lord said, "There's none greater than John the Baptist." He said, "One cometh after me whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose." John the Baptist understood his place before the person of Jesus Christ. This centurion, a man who commanded men, a man of authority, understood his place before the person of Jesus Christ. We all do well to find ourselves where the centurion was, to understand our place before Jesus Christ. He said, "I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goeth; to another, come, and he cometh; to my servant, do, and he doeth it." It would not be right to say that Jesus Christ was surprised on this occasion, because the God who knows all, the end from the beginning, cannot be surprised. You and I can be surprised fairly easily with a birthday party or with a gift and say, "Oh, I had no idea that this was coming." But the Lord's response would be like one of us being surprised with something. And the scripture says that Jesus marveled. He was filled with wonder or astonishment. He's amazed with what this man said. The God who knows all is amazed with what this man's response is. "I'm not worthy to have you under the roof of my house. Just speak the word. You are one who speaks with authority. I know what that's like because I speak with authority. I tell my soldier, do this, he does it. My servant, do this, he does it. I understand authority. I understand your authority. Just speak, and it'll be done." The Lord steps back and marvels, the God who knows all. But he turns to the crowd. Here is an occasion when he can make known something marvelous to those who follow him. For there's a great crowd that followed him on this occasion. At much of his earthly ministry, there were people constantly and continually in large numbers seeking him out and looking for him and trying to find him. And he turned to those who followed and he spake to them. And he said, "Verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." A Roman soldier, a conquering Roman soldier, one who was part of the army that held this nation in subjugation. They were under the rule, the thumb, under the rule of this Roman army. A man from the heathen nations. A man who was not brought up with the knowledge of the Word of God. And we hear what Jesus Christ has to say concerning this man. And this is the thrust of the message tonight. There is something greater going on here than a miracle of healing. The miracle of healing was great. There were many miracles of healing that Jesus Christ performed. And each one of them was astonishing. Not all of them are listed. There were many more than are even referred to in the scripture. There's only reference that there were many more healings than the ones that he did. And this one healing carries with it something astonishing, for the man's request is, just speak the word. You don't need to come to my house. Just say it and it will be done. This is truly astonishing. But the Lord says, wait. There's something greater than a healing that's going on here. And he wants everybody who's following behind him to know, and he wants you and I to know, there's something greater that's going on. And the Lord says to the crowd, modern parlance might use the word, this was a teachable moment. It's too small an expression for us tonight. This was an occasion when God wanted the crowd to see something more important than someone being healed. Jesus said, and I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He says, listen to me. The children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be the certainty of the Lord's words. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, Paul says, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? He answers his own question. He says, what difference does it make for somebody if they're a Jew before the Lord? Well, he says there's a lot of difference. There's a lot of advantage to being a Jew. Very much. Much every way, he says, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. The Jews, the Hebrew nation, had a great advantage in the things of God over all the nations of the earth, because God gave them his word. The Old Testament was written by the Hebrews. The Old Testament was maintained by the Hebrews and eventually the Jews. For centuries, they faithfully wrote it down, they copied. Century after century, copy after copy. As one was worn out, more were made and more were made, and they kept making copies for centuries and centuries and centuries. They kept track of the Word of God as God added more to His Word. It was faithfully copied down. It was faithfully compiled. Amongst the Hebrews, God made his works, his plan of salvation, known first to the Jews, and the nations of the earth learned of God's dealing with men through the Jews. And the Hebrew nation, the Hebrews, the Jews were God's people, a chosen people. The promise of God on a nation. Simply because God promised to bless the seed of Abraham. By virtue of their history, their heritage, their bloodline, their nationality, their yearly calendar, their customs, their laws, and their government, the Jews had great advantage or opportunity to know the will and the mind of God. And despite all of the advantage, and despite this great opportunity, the Lord Jesus presses and he passes judgment. He gives warning to the people of his day. And he makes known this matter for you and I, for us, to benefit from it. The children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He said that there are Jews who are going to hell, even though they have this great and glorious centuries-old heritage. They are going for, they have no faith in the God of heaven. How does it apply to us? I'm not a Jew. I have no Jewish blood in my history, far as I know, or how far back we can go. But you look at the history of the country that you and I live in. The Puritans came to this country to worship God. John Winthrop has a famous sermon, and actually only a phrase of it is very well known anymore, and it's called City on the Hill. But in there, just a brief sentence, it says, "The Lord make it like that of New England, for we must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us, so that if we shall deal falsely with our God in this work we have undertaken, and so cause him to withdraw his present help from us, we shall be made a story and a byword through the world." They sat down to build a community that made its laws upon the Word of God. That their community and the communities that would follow after them as other settlers would come to this continent in the ensuing years, would see that there was a community set upon a hill, and others could look to it and say, this is an example that we can follow. The Pilgrims came to this country. They were somewhat different from the Puritans, but their aim in life was much the same, their reputation. The Pilgrims were called, those that came on the Mayflower, they were called people of the book. This land that we've called our home these couple of hundred years, and 100 years or so, a little better than that, as colonies, has known the mighty acts of God like few countries have known in the history of the world. The first great awakening, Jonathan Edwards, Whitfield, and the Wesley brothers preached, and mighty movements of God swept across the eastern seaboard of this continent. The second great awakening came, and other preachers were raised up in those days, and a mighty work of God was done. There have been men like Moody and Chapman who preached, and many thousands were won for the Savior underneath their ministries. There have been literally thousands and thousands and thousands of missionaries that have left the shores of this country since Adoniram Judson and his wife left to go to Burma. Thousands upon thousands and untold thousands have gone from this country to serve the Lord in far-flung places all around the world. For all of the great things and the great revivals that this country has seen, God has raised up men who have faithfully served him in little communities, little hamlets, in cities, in one corner or another of this country. generation after generation after generation, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of men who have faithfully set forth the Word of God in this land. How many homes have there been where fathers have gathered their wives, children, and they've opened to the Scriptures night by night to make known the Word of God to the next generation? Mothers gathering little ones with their neighbors about their feet to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Since the advent of the radio and the television, the internet, God's people have taken advantage and made use of these technologies in order to spread the gospel. And I know that there are charlatans and that there are false teachers that have made use of these means as well. But in this country, these 250, 300, 350 years in this continent, there has been opportunity after opportunity for sinners to know the Savior. And to whom much is given, much is required. And the children of the kingdom. Those with every advantage and opportunity, like the Jews in the Old Testament era, they go on in their sin. The children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Those who have opportunity and hear the gospel, and they hear it time and time again, even in the day that we live, and the day that we live in, the gospel is not nearly so freely spread abroad as it has been in bygone years. Its influence is not as great as it has been in the past. We still live in a day when you can find a Bible for free in any number of cities, in any number of places across this country. And for all of that, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But to whom much is given, much is required. The Lord Jesus also says in this passage, many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. From one end of creation to the other, there will be those who will sit in the presence of the living God. Isaiah 56 and verse 8, the Lord which gathereth the outcasts of Israel saith, yet I will gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. In Isaiah 65:1, the Lord says, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. In Revelation 7:9, and this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, people, tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, cried with a loud voice, salvation unto our God, which sitteth upon his throne, and unto the Lamb. Are you one of these men? We come back to the centurion. The centurion, the Lord said, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so shall it be done unto thee. And his servant was healed the selfsame hour. This man was a man from a heathen home and a heathen background. He was not a man who was raised up with the advantages of the Jews. And the Lord is saying, look, here is faith found in a man. Here's a man who sees me for who I am. And the Jews, for all the opportunity that they have, reject me and have no part in me. And there'll be a great ingathering of people outside the Jewish nation. There has been a great ingathering of people into the kingdom of heaven from this nation. And yet there are still those who have had great opportunity. They've heard the word of God from their youth up. There has been many occasions, many opportunities to know the Bible. Even parents, even grandparents, even to the third generation, those who have taught their children and their grandchildren concerning the things of God and grow up. I'm a Christian. I assume I'm a Christian. Well, I kind of figured I became a Christian. Well, I know I'm a Christian. But have you ever come to terms with your own sin and your own need of a Savior yourself? If not, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This centurion, he understood. He was but dust before the Son of God. I need your help, is what he said. But I'm not worthy that you come to my house. Would you just speak the word and my servant, behold? He knew his place. Do you know your place before this Christ of God? There is no good thing that you deserve at his hand. The only thing that anybody, any man deserves at the hand of Jesus Christ is hell. And yet he says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. And it was a publican who came into the temple and he would not look up to heaven. He smote himself on his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord said he went down to his house justified. This centurion went his way. And God used him as a great object lesson. Look at him. Those of you who have had great opportunity to hear and to know the Word of God, look at this man who's from the heathen world. And understand that this is great faith. He has great confidence in me to accomplish what he's asked of me. Have you ever come to that place for your soul's sake? Oh Lord, that I might sit in the kingdom of heaven. This is the greater matter than a servant that needed healing of his palsy. To the servant it was important. To the man who came it was important. But the Lord is saying there's something more important here. There's an eternal kingdom. And if you want to be in that kingdom, this is the kind of faith that you need. You cast your all upon Jesus Christ, and you know yourself to be most unworthy of his favor. But you don't have any place else to turn but to him for his favor. So be it done unto thee as thou hast believed. So be it done unto thee, and his servant was healed in the same hour. Jesus Christ is the mighty God. You may not see all that there is to see concerning Jesus Christ in this life. But you will not be disappointed with the power of God made known through Jesus Christ when you cast your all upon Him. If you've not come to Him, then I urge you to call upon Him now for the salvation of your soul. If you are one of His, understand that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. There is nothing that ought not to be brought before His throne of grace. This is the mighty God.